David cried out, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" I think we can understand King David's longing heart a little more as he wrote so many songs about that theme, wanting to go up to the congregation. There were several times in his life that he was not able to do so, to meet in corporate worship. And so with David, we all cry, Lord, help us gather together, right? Especially us in Queens here. We're not ready at this point to meet again, but it won't be long. And when we do, we make sure it's safe, make sure we're abiding by the local precedent, and making sure that if you're not ready to meet, that's okay too. No pressuring there. Eventually we will. And I just wanted to lay out a few theological or biblical reasons why it's important for us to meet, rather than just practical reasons. And we realize that all of our hearts that we want to do this, and some of it's cultural and some of it's missing everyone. But there are some biblical reasons why it's important for us to move on from the virtual great opportunities we have, and I praise God for those, but moving back to what we've done historically. Number one, the word itself, church. Did you know that the Greek word, right, translated church, actually means gathering, right? It's ekklesia, called out. But the idea was being called out together, to meet together. It was used of public assemblies. But the Christians always gathered. They kept gathering and gathering and gathering. Go to the ecclesia, go to the gathering, go. And eventually they just called it church, gathering. So it's really hard to think of doing church without gathering, just in the name itself. Number two, very importantly, the ordinances, right? As we gather, there are specific things we're supposed to be doing. And the two ordinances that Jesus wants us to observe together, baptism and the Lord's table, really, you can't do on a virtual. It needs to be done while we're gathering. Baptism. I guess I could social distance, put a mask on, and have this person wait out here, and we could set it up on Zoom. But really, it's not. It's best when the church meets together for that. And you know what? That baptism and teaching all things of discipleship in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, is talking about evangelism, that idea of baptism. There was the initiating of someone to be a new follower of Jesus. Baptism, the Lord's table. Baptism symbolizes the beginning. Lord's table symbolizes the continuing. It's all of us sitting down together and eating a meal, celebrating the Lord's table together. This is not something you can do virtually. I literally cannot pass the cup to you through Zoom and pass the bread to you through Zoom. So we need to meet together for this, and He commanded us to continue to observe this table until he comes. We need to be adequately meeting with one another to see if someone should partake or should not partake because of a life that no longer mirrors a follower of Jesus. Right? We need this constant, regular reminder of what Christ has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And then our need to self-examine our own life as to whether it meets up to that of a follower of Jesus. Number four, congregational meeting. Maybe this goes without saying, but the idea of meeting together to encourage one another, right? Hebrews 10 tells us not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Right, don't forsake the gathering together. I realize you can argue that we're able to do this via virtual means, but really 20% is all we get from the blessing of literally gathering together. Number five, congregational worship. Through him, Jesus, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And so we come and we acknowledge his name together. We pray together, preach, sing, give, meet together as a congregation each Sunday. Right, this gathering together of the people is special. It's the temple pieces, the living stones that need to come together to offer to God our spiritual worship. Paul told the Corinthian believers that they, plural, were the temple. That temple, yes, meeting virtually all over the world right now, but that temple was meant to be reestablished each Sunday together, offering up sacrifices of praise to God. Which would be congregational singing, right? And I'm separating that one from the previous one because it's a separate command. The Bible tells us we are to be addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all our heart, Ephesians 5:19. Right, we're commanded in the Bible to sing the truth to one another. You really can't do that virtually. We need to do that together, where you're in this one area and I'm in that area, and we sing the truth to one another. We affirm these truths together by God's grace. Number 7, congregational eating. All right, this is some of your favorite, right? But God created eating. And it's really interesting that he made us to enjoy this together, to sit down in a meal together. It's a beautiful part of all cultures around the world. People love to eat together. Sharing a meal together is a sign of peace and helps us to stay connected to each other in a beautiful way. And so God has, ever since the beginning of time, set aside for his people to eat together, to celebrate together, even, yes, to feast together. So you have the Old Testament feasts, the New Testament fellowship meals. Even before the law, God's people enjoyed eating together. We need to eat together. Congregational eating. I would really even include in this sitting down, cup of coffee with one another. Lastly, congregational right hand of fellowship. There's this idea of right hand of fellowship that you meet in personal contact and you affirm that person in the Lord. This is my brother or sister. The early apostles did that to Paul, saying, "This is one of us." Now, the greeting does change in different cultures. In that first century, they actually had a holy kiss of charity. And so you see that repeated. We probably won't do either of those, maybe for a while. Maybe we'll go back to elbow bumping or something. But the idea of us being together and connecting, I affirm this person, I know them now that I've seen them face to face, and I agree that their faith is real. It's a sign of charity, of affirming one another, that we need to do together. Well, we're not there yet, but would you commit to praying with me because of these reasons, that the Lord will allow us to reopen soon, to be meeting together in a safe, gracious way, right? Not alarming authorities, but according to the authorities dictates. Let's pray that the Lord will remove these circumstances that we could meet together, and that he will continue to build his church even in spite of these circumstances and because of them. Would you pray that way? My brothers and sisters in New York City, would you join with me asking the Lord will do this even here in Queens, that we would be able to fulfill these biblical ideals set forth for every generation and for every city.